Those Damn Ross Kids is a podcast for adults, and the opinions expressed do not reflect the opinions of our employers or even ourselves. We'd like to hear from you. Give us a call at 419-528-TDRK to leave a voicemail, and we just may play it on the show.
Dude, what a great, like, trance band name.
What?
Acrylic Mink.
Oh yeah, man, I dropped some E and I went down to the
hour
acrylic mink show.
What's that thing called, the where there's like the synth thing that's like a little box?
Synth box.
Yeah. Acrylic Mink plays the synth box.
Oh, the theremin, where the theremin, it's like, yeah. Acrylic Mink. It's a 17 member band. Each of them plays a theremin. Acrylic Mink. It's
17 theremins. And George plays the spoons.
Those Damn Ross Kids, a conversation between brothers, featuring Chris and Cole Ross.
Hey, Chris, what episode is this?
Episode number 87 of the comedy podcast, Those Damn Ross Kids.
My name is Cole Ross.
I am Chris, yes.
We're here to entertain your asses, hot off of our steaming, flaming... Oh, man, I can't say anything that doesn't sound like really gay. Hot off of our, re-debut onto the internet after a short, ineptitude-induced hiatus. We're here to, issue our penitence and to say, you know what, this is the second week in a row that we've done it and we're trying real hard. So take it easy. Dig.
You dig that?
I've taken to saying dig instead of understand. Like I'll say dig. I don't do it to you. Because sure. I respect you. I do it as a power play. You know what? I will not chew a piece of gum before I have a business meeting with you, because that's a power play. That is the natural scent coming from the deepest part of my being. That's so you know who I am, what I am all about, and what I ate for breakfast this morning.
How garlicky your Parmesan bruschetta was.
My Parmesan bruschetta omelette.
Sure.
Okay, that's a power play right there. That choice, that single action, that single omission of action, that does more to build confidence in me and my enterprise, Roscoe Enterprises.
Do you smell my coffee? You're fired.
It's a power play. Get out and give me that coffee.
Get out.
Get out.
Get
Chris,
out.
Chris, tell me a story and get
hey,
out.
Last summer, a drunk Arizona police officer named Evans, drove himself to a bar, flashed his badge to avoid paying cover at the door, and then walked up behind a woman, put his hand straight up her skirt, ran his fingers over her genitals. Jury convicted him of sexual abuse, a felony with a maximum sentence of 2.5 years in prison. He was fired from his job, and he lost his pension.
What position of authority did he occupy?
He was a police officer.
And so he blazed in.
Yeah.
Said,
he grabbed
hey.
His instrument. He played the box.
he played the theremin.
I play the box at a local bar.
Except instead of off duty. Instead of, to play theremin, you don't touch it. And to, do what he did, you actually have to touch it.
And to stay warm and not in prison, you just hover over the warmth.
Can I get a feel of the heat that is wafting off of your genitals?
Speaking of power play,
I'm sorry, my hands are kind of chilly. I have poor circulation from sorry, all of the
from power.
I have poor circulation, so the tips of my fingers, they just get a little bit chilly because of all of the 3 martini lunches that I engage in.
Dude, that's so weird. I have poor circulation. The tips of my labia, not the most sensitive. Am I getting fingered?
No, you're not. Because
I ordered a drink, and now I'm getting fingered.
Because I am doing. Because I am doing. Yeah. Because I am doing the equivalent of the "I'm not touching you, I'm not touching you" from the back seat. I am hovering a 3 to 4 inch, that is the bound that I am, you know, maintaining away from your genitals that are emitting this delicious heat that my blood deprived fingers need.
Sure.
And you know what? That's not a crime, because I am whispering affirmations to you. So it's not threatening. It's not assault. It's not like, oh boy, look what I'm about to do because of this awful, horrible thing that I'm going to, you know, you think I'm doing, but say, you know what, you know, you're going to pay your tuition this quarter, right? You're going to be a paralegal. You're going to do it. You're going to rise up out of this, but you know what? You're empowered right now. That's fine. Do it. You know, everybody's here because they want to see you, right? All you got to do is just be who you are.
Do you need a ride? So anyway, this guy, the jury says, hey, you're guilty. The sentence carries 2.5 years in prison. Anyway, this judge is Judge Jacqueline Hatch. She decided that what he did didn't warrant any jail time and sentenced him to probation and 100 hours of community service. He will not have to register as a sex offender. And the judge apparently did not view the disgraced former cop's actions as particularly serious. She also had some harsh words for the woman who he assaulted.
Oh, fuck.
Saying that bad things
can happen. You're going to depress me.
This is not going to depress you. This is going to invigorate your spirit. Bad things can happen in bars, Hatch told the victim, the Hatch being the judge, adding that other people might be more intoxicating than she was. Quote, if you wouldn't have been there that night, none of this would have happened to you. Hatch told the victim and the defendant that no one would be happy with the sentence she gave, but that finding an appropriate sentence was her duty. She, quote, said, I hope you look at what you've been through and try to make something positive out of it. You learned a lesson about friendship, and you learned a lesson about vulnerability.
Friendship.
When you blame others, you give up your power to change.
You learned a lesson about friendship. This is like watching Stand By Me or The Goonies. You know what? If you don't stick together, a police officer is going to blaze in, whip out his badge, whip out his hand, fondle your labiae, and this judge is going to let you get away with it. Is the M. Night Shyamalan twist to this that this took place in Saudi Arabia?
The victim has called for the judge to apologize for the offensive comments, adding that if she had not been at the bar to be assaulted by the police officer, she, quote, said, it probably would have happened to someone else.
It probably could have theoretically
happened to some other dumb lord who deserved it, right?
You know who I blame, Chris? The victim.
Somebody would have stoked that campfire.
Chris, it theoretically could have happened to at least half of the people on this planet, okay?
Theoretically.
More than half. They outnumber us.
I think he's into Hispanic women, though.
Yeah.
So, yeah, half.
Jesus.
If my internet searches tell me anything.
Fuck this. If my internet searches on Stormfront tell me anything.
Oh my God.
What?
Do you know how many of these women are named Busty Latina?
Do you know how many of these women are named Busty Latina Pick? Come on.
That's odd in glasses. Really?
Okay, let me pull out an index card, write down Busty Latina glasses. Okay.
Busty Latina glasses.
Gonna hit that up later. Just adding this.
That's when I get drunk, I put on my busty Latina glasses.
And the world becomes a better, more bearable place.
Beer goggles are for Gallagher shows.
Oh man, you know he's like crazy conservative, right?
He's probably.
Yeah. No, he's like off the deep end, like Tea Party retarded.
Yeah,
well, like calling for birth certificates and such. It's crazy.
Mitt's in it to win it.
I want to see Gallagher performing not only at the Gathering of the Juggalos, but also at the Mitt Romney. But I guess he lives in Ohio now too, like not far from you.
Not sure if that bus paint job was a mistake or whether they're, you know, just trying to save money.
Chris.
It says there's always next time.
Can I tell you a story? Can I tell you a story that was suggested by a fan of ours on the Facebook group? That is facebook.com/thosedamnrosskids.
If you stop pronouncing F's like that.
F's. F's. What am I saying?
By a fan on Facebook.
Chris, I'm enunciating, all right? This is the...
Sure.
Chris, I have no control over it. I get a microphone in front of me, and each of my syllables takes on a grave importance. There are people out there who need
to be
informed. You
should choose them wisely, actually.
There are people who need to be informed, and if I slur, if I mumble, if I defer, my normal speaking voice, nothing like this. If you speak to me on the phone, I'm a gibbering, jabbering mess. However, you put a microphone in front of me, I become an articulate, over-enunciating gentleman because my voice must be heard.
A gentleman, that's it.
I'm a gentleman. That's the word I was looking for. Chris, this was suggested by Andrew on Facebook. Okay. Three employees of the Hands of Our Future Daycare Center in Dover, Delaware. Hey, look, I'm in Delaware. Are being held on $10,000 bond for allegedly running a toddler fight club. All right.
Okay.
The three-year-olds were encouraged to participate in organized battle royales. When one toddler complained, "He's pinching me," one of the organizers, many middle-aged women, said, "No pinching, only punching." Swiper, no swiping. Backpack, you hold the map. And no pinching, only punching. Is that an open fist I see? Don't be slapping. Only pussies slap. Oh, you want a juice box? Bam! Upside the head. Go hit that little bitch with his Bob the Builder helmet on. Fuck you.
Bob the who?
Sorry. Is that old? Him with his Muppet Babies shirt. Dude, Muppet Babies haven't been on for like 30 years. Who are the Muppets?
Swiper, no swiping?
Says one police officer who watched a cell phone video of the sessions, which ultimately got these organizers incarcerated. The bottom line is that the kids were wailing on each other, and the adults were doing nothing to stop it. In fact, they were egging it on. Is that an open fist I see? I'm just picturing, like, you know how they put, like, blades on the talons of cockfights, you know? It's like, yeah, just like, give them a little bit of the edge, give them the stinger. Wrap some barbed wire around those boxing gloves, right? I'm just picturing like rattles.
Swiper, no swiping. Kick, punch. It's all in the mind. If you want to test me, I'm sure you'll find the things I'll teach you. It's sure to beat you, but nevertheless, you'll get a lesson from the teacher. Kick, punch, chop, block. Once more now. Kick, punch, chop, block. Grab the rattle. Swiper got swipe.
Oh my god,
it's gonna get harder now.
What is?
It's gonna get harder now.
No, kick, chop, kick, chop. Kick,
duck,
punch, block.
Jump.
Kick, punch,
turn,
block.
Turn and pose. This is the Zoolander video game. Duck and turn, jump and punch.
I'm so sorry. You pulled the rug out from under me on that. You're laying down OG 1997 Parappa the Rappa PlayStation game, first rhythm game raps on me.
Yeah, that's what I do. That's how I do.
Oh, man. That game is legit. Wow.
You think I had it in me, did you?
I didn't. Holy shit. I knew you were Googling furiously.
Good job, Cole. You can go on to the next stage.
Oh man, like I'm trying to remember any of the lyrics, but you just, like, you've caught me so off guard. If I could have done any pre-pro on this, I could lay down like whole tracks on you, but I can't. Come on now, why don't you follow my words? Because we're almost done. I'll make it easy at first. I want to see if you want to see what it takes to be the man with the master plan. Now, are you the man now?
I need to go just as bad as you. What I had this morning, I don't even want to say to you. Kick, punch, turn and chop the door, or I will fall to the floor. Kick, punch, turn and chop the door, or I will fall to the floor. Wait, this is a song called Full Tank. It's the bathroom song.
Yes, yes, it's a song. It's one of the last levels in the game. It's before they go to the final level. All of the previous bosses are waiting in line for the bathroom.
I am a chicken from the kitchen. And I ain't kidding, although nothing is written.
Crack, crack, crack the eggs into the bowl. M-I-X the flour into the bowl. Crack, crack, crack the eggs into the bowl. M-I-X the flour into the bowl. Baking a cake, yes, means you gotta try. I'm doing this for years, but don't ask me why. Man, I need to, like, is that on PSN? Holy shit, I'm sorry. This is, like, bleeding into other podcasts, but you're bringing me a blast from the fucking past. All right, I'm sorry. Tell me a story before I go and buy this game again. What is that on the rainforest? Let me see here. Go, hurry.
Hey, your father's going to be very proud of you. Let me know if you have another flea market. I will help you, or you will help me.
In the rain or in the snow, in the rain or in the snow, got the funky flow, got the funky flow. His voice was so fucked up whenever he repeated the lyrics. I mean, it was call and response.
Sounds like a Jody, like a running or a military chant that you do while you drill or run.
Yeah, is that what they call it, Jody?
Napalm sticks to kids. Napalm sticks to kids.
Yeah. Is that what they made you yell?
No. Yeah.
is that like just. My presumption about any kind of boot camp, whether, you know, whatever branch of military is, everybody sweats a lot. People shoot themselves and, like, they talk about nothing but Eskimo pussy.
It's the Dutch outdoor survival school boot camp.
The skunk over here will bring you luck.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Always got that.
Yeah. The pump over here goes with the truck.
That's what the llama says to me.
That's what the llama says to me. Chris, tell me a story.
Anyway, a routine purchase request from the Social Security Administration has caused a flood of conspiracy theories. The agency posted a notice that it's buying 174,000 hollow point bullets. The Social Security Administration is purchasing 174,000 hollow point bullets, causing some to believe that it was stockpiling ammo to put down civil unrest. There's been speculation that the agency was planning to arm illegal immigrants or even kill exactly 174,000 U.S. troops and replace them with security forces loyal to the skunk.
Exactly. Come on, everybody knows you're not going to kill 174,000 people with hollow points. You have to do a two-tap. So you're only going to kill half of that.
Two taps this time. Boom, boom. But next stage. But no, they kill the troops that are loyal to the administration and not the Constitution.
Is this like from fucking Glenn Beck is what you're doing?
I don't know, but the Glenn Beck people had these theories, but the reality is not that. The agency explains with their lies that it employs 295 agents of the president. Now, of the Social Security Administration, with full law enforcement powers to investigate fraud with hollow points. Most of the ammunition will be used on the training range because it's important when shooting at pieces of paper that you have hollow points.
Well, no, like hollow points have that, like they have legitimate uses in training and also when you're fighting in densely packed urban environments. If you fire like a regular ordnance, you know, like a 9mm, whatever, that has the opportunity to go through whatever you're shooting at and then go through a wall and then go through like four people on the way out. Whereas if you shoot a hollow point, it's going to you know, expand inside that person and not pass through. So yes, it is more effective at killing the person you're intending to kill, but it's not going to, you know, go through them.
True.
I don't know what the Social Security Administration needs, because don't they just like give like checks to mad old people?
And kids whose parents have died.
Yeah, mad old people and retarded orphans. Yeah. So
mostly retarded orphans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Have you ever chased a retarded orphan through an alley? Like Spider-Man, I tell you.
I'm so sorry. I don't know why you're getting me today. Dave, but you are.
I get you. Well, how do you get me so good?
So, why do you understand what tickles me so?
How are you getting me so well?
No, it's just like...
gets me, you know?
Usually I can inure myself to your particular brand of sardonic detachment of your fractured view on modern life. But you know, now you just today you're getting to me. This session, or this sesh, as I say, to our engineers and our interns, you know, this is sesh number 87 is what I call it.
Yeah.
8687. Yeah, sure. The sesh. Yeah, no, you're hitting it. You're hitting home.
8.6/7.
8.6/7, yeah.
Full stride. They say that their special agents need to be armed and trained appropriately. They not only investigate allegations of Social Security fraud, but they are also called to respond to threats against the Social Security offices, employees, and customers. So they have their own like private security there in the government facilities.
There's also like an arms race. What is it? Ammo sales have gone up like 800%.
The Paralympics is not what you're supposed to call it.
They have arms. You're not supposed to call the Paralympics.
The Paralympics is not supposed to be referred to as an arms race.
Gold, Jerry, gold. Okay.
I know it is, but you can't say.
Half of this episode is going to be gone, cutting out my fucking awful wheezy laugh.
I know, right?
I don't understand it.
Hold on.
I don't smoke.
I don't know.
Why do I wheeze so much? Like, you're just getting an arms race. No, you like this is a natural extension of all the people you're like, bird, I gotta take away my guns and burr. And so they buy up all their fucking RCP 90s and their clobs and their AR 57s and whatever else was in GoldenEye. That's all that I know guns from. And so, you know, somebody else, you know, when the government man comes a knocking, hollow points. But yeah, if you're in a dense urban environment, I would rather the agent from the government that is investigating my fraud, you know, fire a hollow point at me, because even though it will surely shred and, you know, completely destroy my organs and my inner workings, my gully works, as it were, it will not hit the completely innocent child behind me. So they have good taste in ordnance. Frangibles, Chris. Frangibles. That's what they call them.
Which is important when you're wearing your innocent child backpack.
It's the reverse baby Bjorn.
Excuse me?
It's the reverse baby Bjorn.
You can't say Sacagawea backwards. Nor can I say Pocahontas backwards, but I can see both.
Chris, you're thinking of
Papoose. Gosh, that's weird.
What is?
I don't know. Papoose. My skunk guide.
My skunk guide. I'm a furry. I don't have a spirit guide. I assume
you've had a chance to get acquainted with my skunk guide Papoose.
My skunk guide Papoose. I'm a furry. I don't have a spirit guide. I have a skunk guide. A spunk guide. Shall we shove off into the mystic sea?
Into the misty lagoon. with my new friend, Samuel. And skunk guide.
And Rodney, my bleeding chicken. Yes.
3 days reserve food stuffed in my innocent child backpack.
Just squeeze him and it will come out. It's a convenient dispenser, I say.
Bottom is full of cured meat, and this top is full of grog. Or mead.
whichever be your pleasing. Now, we do have an apiarist aboard, so we can harvest the honey for the mead.
Innocent child backpack is sleepy. His top is full of mead.
His top is full of mead. So you know about the what is it, that coffee that tastes better when cats shit it out?
K-cups.
Yeah, K-cups. I'm just imagining like mead that is fermented in a child's belly. Then you cut them open. to squeeze it out. You wring them like a washcloth and throw them to the side. Fucking.
Good call.
We're a half hour in. I've got like 15 stories left. What's happening?
You said you had five.
No, I have like four stories left.
Thought so.
Okay.
You should use one.
I should, shouldn't I?
Yeah.
So, citizens.
I'm not going to let you. No, go ahead. Papoose says it's okay.
Who says?
Papoose.
Okay. Citizens in Overland Park, Kansas are outraged by the presence of an obscene statue in their civic arboretum, also known as the tree place. That's what an arboretum is. It's a place for trees. The statue is of a headless, topless woman taking a picture of herself with a digital camera. That's how I like them. Family watchdog groups say that the statue, which was contributed by a Chinese artist, encourages sexting. We will not abide this sexting statue, says a person I made up just now. When parents complained, an informational plaque was added to the exhibit, explaining the origin of the piece, with a small disclaimer at the end, saying that some parents might want to keep their children away due to its graphic content. Says one mom, that's not a sign that you put up on a statue about a sexting sculpture. That's an actual quote.
That's the intention? The Chinese dude said that's why he made it?
They want to take away our freedoms. They want to turn our little girls, our innocent little girls and boys, into sexting perverts, into sexting Chinese agent Manchurian, that is a region in China, Manchurian candidate sexters. Over 4,700, I say that because if I say 4,700, it sounds less impressive, over 4,700 signatures have been gathered petitioning to have the sexting statue removed. The number of verified signatures will determine whether or not a grand jury will be assembled to investigate the obscenity claim. As always, it comes down between free speech and decency. And Chris, I choose decency. I will not abide this sexting statuesque, which is accurate because she is a statue, headless woman who is taking a picture of herself with a camera that appears quite dated. I do not think she can sext from it. I think it's actually just a camera. And I think that it is more of a commentary on her self-obsessed youth culture.
Is it the problem that that it doesn't have a head?
No, I think the problem is that she...
I get your head by 4 o'clock.
No questions asked. There we go. That's our one.
No questions.
That's our one.
Which is... No, you already had one in there.
No, not today.
Because she is a statue.
He treats objects like women. Yeah.
Sure.
but man, that's like the Rorschach test of movie references. I can turn anything into a Big Lebowski quote. The problem isn't that she's headless. I think the problem is that she has and I quote, let me see here, this is a minister, rude ass titties. Then he goes on to say, these are the rudest titties. I'm sorry, this is a couple paragraphs. But basically, the moral is the titties are rude.
Mom, you lost me, dude.
Sorry. Areola the size of DVDRs.
So it's a commentary on sex in the media.
I guess, yeah.
Sure.
A commentary on how...
No, it's media on sex.
Chris, it's both, all right? We're crossing the Rubicon. You know what? We're covering the entire waterfront. The main ad is off the charts. It's mirrors upon mirrors upon mirrors. It's an infinite corridor that expands as we walk down it into depravity and self-reflection as we, you know, just pornographically demoralize ourselves into objects, literally standing in a place full of trees, also known as an arboretum. There we go. I choose decency. Okay, I am outraged for these children. I am outraged for these trees that have to abide this smut, this headless, topless, rude-ass titty smut, taking pictures of herself with a bad camera. I'm angry.
A telemarketer called a guy in Meade, Colorado last week. The telemarketer explained to him that the man he had called won some money. The homeowner was not interested and hung up the phone. But then the phone rang again, and a pretty rude telemarketer explained, "I've placed a bomb in your home."
Playing hardball, I see.
Police were alerted by the homeowner when he called 911. He took the call seriously, going so far as to evacuate neighboring homes. No bomb was found, and they're now trying to access the telemarketer's phone number, which could be a futile search. The homeowner told police the caller had a very thick accent, and he may have been phoning overseas. The best that the authorities can do is notify the FBI that there was not a bomb in that home.
There was no bomb.
There is no bomb.
He took it seriously.
If a guy with a thick accent calls up and says there's a bomb in your home.
That is gorgeous.
Yeah. I didn't raid that rack of pamphlets of what would GW do to not learn anything.
Hey there, is this Mr. Gunderson? No, I'm sorry. Hey, I'm eating dinner. If you don't know my name, then you obviously have no business talking to me. Well, I've got a bomb in your house. Well, I'm sorry, sir.
Dr. Leo Marvin, son of a bitch.
I'm so
Gunderson's wanted to buy Dr. Leo Marvin's house. And what about Bob?
Baby steps, Chris. Baby
Marvin,
steps.
Marvin, son of a bitch.
Gunderson. Baby steps. This is episode number 2 in a row where we reference Richard Dreyfuss' work.
Sure.
Bill Murray. That's a good movie.
No, absolutely.
I like that a lot. You like okay. So if you don't know my name, why would you have a bomb on my house? My accent. Bleh, oh no, brown people, run. And scene. I hesitate to say that something would be the worst job. To be a telemarketer, like I can imagine, like being an Amway rep or something like that, where you're just desperately hitting up friends to buy your shit, you know, constantly being in school fundraiser mode. Except, you know, you're trying to earn a living instead of a lollipop that'll turn your tongue blue. You know, I can imagine like that must be pretty awful, selling knives door to door, whatever. Death of a Salesman, Willie Loman, you know, Glengarry Glen Ross, the Patel leads, all of that. But still, being a telemarketer, like this guy, I don't know if I entirely feel bad for him. He was experimenting. He was trying to be a pioneer in his field. I'll give you the instructions if you just buy this vacuum cleaner. No questions asked. Not for me, anyway. You're done.
I think this Parappa of the Rapist song is actually a worship hymnal, maybe a song.
Well, no. Call and response. That's you know, the classic.
Is that where they chant over and over again?
It's the
I will
format.
Receive you, Lord.
No, it's the format of gospel music, which traditionally was sung by slaves who were not allowed to read, so that, you know, they could join in worship. So they would say the line, you know, and that, because they couldn't read the music, and then they would repeat it back so they could participate in it. So call and response, that's a thing. You know,
so if I was going to say, what you going to do when they come, you got to redeem. So it's like that call, what you going to do? And then the congregation or the called body would yell like, we got to redeem.
They do have to redeem you.
Yeah. Is that the call and response?
I guess.
Is that, you know, how that works?
Yeah. Yeah. Like you say something and then the congregation, the gathered body says something.
Okay. So yeah, I think Parappa the Rapper was driving at something.
It was. I mean, it was cartoony, yes, but it was getting at something that is fundamental to our nation's heritage, right? Because, you know, gospel music gave way to blues, and blues gave way to rock and roll, and all of that.
But I went through it like that because I want it like that. No other difference is the fact.
Is that more Parappa?
Sure.
We're really low energy. Chris, tell me a story. Pick me back up.
Why are you so low energy?
I don't know. Oh, wait, it was you. Wait,
yeah,
this is
you
my
need
turn.
To tell a story.
Yeah,
that's why.
This is my turn. I'm suffering
you
from
you need some go-go juice.
Sorry. Yeah, that's from the last episode. We had like
Sissy
a whole
boo boo child.
Yeah, no, honey boo boo child.
Honey, which, is it honey like, boo boo child?
Yeah, honey boo boo child. in the lost episode that we referred to last week, we were going off on a mom on toddlers and tiaras.
My native skunk eye papoose. And my backpack, yes. Honey Boo Boo Chow.
We were going off on on toddlers and tiaras, which is so played out. But sometimes you have to do it. There was this mom who, because the costumes were Grease themed or whatever, and because Olivia Newton-John tries to play a bad girl at the end of it, and she's in a leather jacket and smoking, she decided, hey, let's give her a fake cigarette and have her go out. Right, so that's the short version, and we were riffing on that. But we discovered Honey Boo Boo Child, who drinks her go-go juice, which is what?
Red Bull and Mountain Dew.
Red Bull and Mountain Dew. And I since then I've watched more clips of it because it's hard not to, every cliche about, train wrecks and whatever. These kids. This kid in general. Little kids are hard enough to understand, when they talk, because their mouths aren't fully formed and shit, and they don't know how to pronounce their R's and their W's, and their shit's all fucked, right? Mm-hmm. But this kid, not only is she suffering from being a five-year-old who, is a mush mouth and doesn't know shit from shit, she's also a Tennessee... Deep South, Southern hick, bullets, bullet holes in the street signs. Burr, 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 her to her, burr, burr, go, go, juice, give me a cigarette, burr, burr, burr. It's what? Usually they have the, common sense, the decency to subtitle it. No subtitles to be found. What the fuck is she saying?
Oh, no, I understand. We're talking about the last song in Grease, right?
What the fuck does shoobity boop but not it's mean?
Chang, chang, changity, chang, shoobop.
This Australian bitch who rolls in to Riverdale High. Riverdale's from Archie, I'm sorry. But this Australian bitch comes in here and sings. I shouldn't call her a bitch, I'm sorry. This lovely Australian woman comes in here, sings, plays to be a nice girl. John Travolta turns her down because of his hot rod, and all of a sudden, she's running around in leather and smoking. She's smoking on a carnival ride. There are children there, madam. There are children there, you Australian lovely lady. Don't try and be what you're not. I believe it was a wise turtle who said, be only what you is and not what you is not. For those who do this are the happiest lot. And I would echo this not only for the entire cast of Grease or for Toddlers and Tiaras or for Honey Boo Boo Child, but for every single person who listens to this in perpetuity throughout the universe. Goddamn.
The call is made by the guys, a wop ba ba loo wop, and the girls respond with a wop bam boom.
We ran out of ideas. We gotta finish out this musical movie. I don't even know where we were going. Do you want to talk about drinks? About beverages?
Yeah, I'm drinking one now.
Yeah, me too. Sierra Nevada. Several. It's good.
Dewar's White Label.
Sierra Nevada, good stuff. Scientists have determined that people will drink faster out of a curved glass than from a straight-sided glass.
Oh, look at you.
Whether or not the drink is alcoholic. Okay? So your souvenir glass that has, some kind of logo or fancy slogan on the side of it or something like that, that you will drink slower out of. You drink out of it slower. Than your curved Pilsner glass. Okay?
Okay.
I'm just over enunciating to piss you off now, so. But.
I'll bite the weenie, Cole, with relish.
This study is out of the University of Bristol in the UK. The conclusion is that the reason for this is that it's harder to tell the halfway point in a curved glass. Since most drinkers use the method of pacing themselves in order to not get drunk or not to drink too fast, it's harder to tell where the halfway mark is. Drinking from a curved glass can spell danger for a reveler who is trying to play it cool. So, you hit it with gusto for the first half, and then you see in a straight-sided glass, oh boy, I'm about halfway through. I better cool it. Then you nurse it for the rest of the way, right? That's, the way of things. It's the natural order. But not the case with a curved glass. So that is a warning to everybody as they engage in the winter in the fall, the upcoming autumn drinking festivities.
You didn't pronounce that correctly. Autumn. Nah.
The autumnal drinking festivities.
A decade after speaking of your wheezing when you laughed earlier before things got shitty. A decade after an asthma drug was found to stunt children's growth, scientists are announcing that the hampered growth seems permanent. On the bright side, however, it doesn't get any worse.
On the bright side, it doesn't get any worse.
That's
our new motto.
On the bright side, it doesn't get any worse.
That's going to be on our t-shirt, Chris. Mm-hmm. On the bright side, it doesn't get any worse.
I've been taking this medicine, and I'm still short on breath. Ba-boom.
I'm short, and I'm short on breath.
That's the one. Boschkies.
Oh, man. So...
So the previous studies when the medicine was being approved said the slower growth would be temporary and not affect adult height. But it turns out that people that took the asthma medicine as adults are smaller.
Wait, so people
who... We're talking about like by a half inch, which makes all the difference.
Oh, but like generation over generation, that's a problem.
Sure.
Yeah, as people self-select out and everything, you know. So. Yeah,
as long as everyone stays on the medicine.
Right.
Yeah. Eventually they're going to be making some records.
Like laying down some beats? Dropping some tracks?
No, like for the smallest people.
Oh.
Get it?
No, I get it. I just really kind of want to hear an all little people band.
All I can think of is like a store for like children's room flooring, and it would be called infantile.
This has been Those Damn Ross Kids.
Oh my god, these two episodes, Chris. These two episodes. Okay, yeah, I recorded them. We're good. All right, cool.
Neat.
Chris, what can they do?
You can go to duckfeed.tv/thosedamnrosskids. There you will access the website with content and information regarding what you've just heard and hopefully what you will listen to more of in the future. You probably are accessing the show, downloading it to a mobile device such as an iPod from maybe such things as iTunes. There you can leave a review or rating. You can also check us out on Facebook, where we have a presence as a thing. You can talk to other people on there about us, or us on there about me and us and you. Therefore, 419-528-TDRK is the voicemail where you can call and leave us an audible message that we will hear your voice and know that you are really out there. If you have things to buy, you can go through the duckfeed.tv website and link or pass through to Amazon and make your purchase as normal. We get a small slice of that, and so that's good, right?
It is.
Not why we do it, but it is nice. Because it does cost things to be able to provide this for free. So know that, yeah. And keep hanging in there with us.
Every little bit helps.
Every time. So is that it? Yeah?
I think you hit it.
Good enough.
Cool.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, can I tell you one more story?
Yeah, you can.
All right. There's this lady, and her name is Griselda Blanco. She's the so-called godmother of cocaine.
Okay.
She orchestrated a wave of horrific drug violence in the streets of Miami in the 70s and 80s. She was gunned down at 69 years old, leaving a butcher shop, when a pair of gunmen on motorcycles pulled up and put two bullets in her head.
One each?
This is ironic because Blanco herself is credited, and this is awesome. This lady is credited with inventing motorcycle assassins.
She said, hey.
What did you do with your life?
I worked hard every single day. I provided for my family.
Oh, I invented badass motorcycle assassins. Like at the end of Pee Wee.
Those are motorcycle ninjas.
Ninjas. Never mind.
Oh, we both arrived at this fucking shit.
All right.
Okay.
She, then let's listen to this. She was also reportedly Pablo Escobar's mentor.
Okay.
The police in Miami, and you got these salty, rusty, salt, awful, like 70s, 80s, like drug detectives. One of the detectives is quoted as saying, "It's surprising to all of us that she had not been killed sooner. She made a lot of enemies. Though she was only ever convicted of 3 murders, including that of a 2-year-old little boy, detectives believe that she ordered at least 40. She spent 20 years in prison in the U.S. before being deported to Colombia in 2004. She is survived by her son, Michael Corleone."
No, she's not.
Yes, she is.
No, her son is not named
Michael Corleone, who she named after the Godfather character.
Like, that... When did she die?
Like, yesterday.
What?
Yeah, like 2 weeks ago.
Why is there not a movie about this person?
The grandmother of cocaine?
Cocaine grandma. I want that.
Because Martin Lawrence is fucking busy.